by them next summer. We will have to wait almost 12 months for that, but you don't have to wait 12 months nor even 12 minutes for our first guest of the day, because I'm delighted to say to talk about that US men's national team result, the win in Panama, a win on the road, and to give us his breakdown of his thoughts on the US's World Cup potential and who should be making their way to that Brazil World Cup as part of that US men's national team squad is our guest for today. Joining me on the line right now from Bleacher Report, Mr. Mike Williams, to talk all things US men's national team. Mike, it's a pleasure to have you on board, mate. How are you on this fine day? Must be a happy man after the result in Panama last night.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite the result. It was really dramatic. And, you know, I have to say, I am actually happy that Mexico will make the World Cup. It wouldn't have been the same without them. So, well, okay, they're not going to make it, but they're still alive. They're still in the playoffs. So, you know, all around, you know, pretty good night.
I had a very late night watching the USA take on Panama. And for me, there was part of me wondering if US fans would be screaming at the TV, especially when Zusi rose for that header late on, kind of going, no, don't, what are you doing here? And it looked like the Panama players as well kind of had that attitude when Zusi scored. It was like, why are you doing this? There's no need for you guys to be fighting here. Yet you've said you're happy Mexico are in the World Cup. Do you think most American soccer fans will have that attitude? Or do you think there will be plenty of people saying, why did we do that? Why did we give El Tri the chance?
Well, okay, that's kind of hard to say. It's pretty difficult, you know, to speak for all American fans, of course.
Of course.
But for me, yeah, I really do want to see Mexico in the World Cup. I think it's better for CONCACAF if they do make the World Cup. They have experience there. You know, they'll represent themselves well, even though it's been such a tough qualification for them. And of course, they still have what's going to be a difficult two-legged playoff with New Zealand. But yeah, overall, I am happy that they are still alive. You know, nothing against Panama at all, but I think that Mexico probably will perform better at the World Cup, and I think that's better for the region.
Now, we knew there were going to be changes to the US men's national team lineup last night, of course, with the four big players kind of sent home by Jurgen Klinsmann, including Donovan and Tim Howard. And what did you make of his lineup, though, in general yesterday? It was very much a mixture of a few old and plenty of new and plenty of inexperience in comparison to some other players in this US men's national team lineup.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to talk about Edgar Castillo because he's been getting a few chances there at left back. And, you know, he had some good and some bad last night. He seems to be a player that Klinsmann likes a lot. But, you know, he wasn't particularly good in that first half. You know, things opened up for him a little in the second. You know, he was involved in that goal for Zusi. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what happens with Castillo ahead of the World Cup. That's one of the spots that, you know, we're not terribly deep at left back. There are a few question marks. So I thought that was an interesting one. You know, like you said, all around the pitch, it was kind of an interesting night for sure. But we knew that going in. We knew it was going to be a little different. So, you know, overall, definitely pleased with the performance.
Does it still worry you at all, Michael, that there is still a number of question marks surrounding the back four and who's going to be playing in that? I mean, since that very impressive win against Scotland over a year ago now, there's been a lot of talk about Fabian Johnson and the centre-back partnerships, the plethora of them that we've seen. Is it still a worry, despite the USA's confident finish in the hexagonal round?
Yeah, it is. It is a concern. That's why I wanted to bring up Castillo there. You know, with Johnson, I like him back there, but do we want to play him in midfield instead? You know, it kind of has a little bit to do with the wings. You know, on each side, if you have Graham Zusi playing on the right, he likes to cut in a lot. You know, that kind of necessitates having a someone on the opposite side who hugs the line. You know, so what do we do with that? Do we keep Johnson out there, or do we push him back to left back? On the other side, right back, that's even more of a question. Turundolo doesn't look like, you know, he's going to be back in time. He's missed just oodles of time. Center back, so many partnerships. I think that's something, like you said, we need to work on this. Klinsmann needs to work on this. in the upcoming friendlies. I think he will. And, you know, we could see a few new faces coming in. It might be pretty exciting.
There were obviously plenty of new faces last night. And in general, there's been a spattering of new faces over the last 12 months or so in the US men's national team side. We've seen, obviously, the introduction of Graham Zusi coming in, who's been very impressive in the last 12 to 18 months or so. Who's really stood out, aside from Zusi, as these young faces that have come into the US men's national team in the last year and a half or so?
Well, you know, actually, I wanted to talk about somebody that is not in, but we might see at the in the upcoming friendlies, and that's DeAndre Yedlin. I think that it would be interesting to see him come in, see if he gets a chance to come in, maybe be that guy in the fullback position. If not, you know, no big deal. And if he does play well, you know, that's a great find for us in a World Cup year. So, you know, he hasn't been in yet, but I think that's one guy I'd like to see come in. That might be pretty interesting.
What makes that so, Michael? Because there's been plenty of questions around the Sounders. They didn't have an overly impressive middle chunk of the season, obviously raised their game towards the end of the year, and then are going through a bit of a drab patch again. Yedlin's been a great player for that Sounders side, but it hasn't been the be-all and end-all Sounders side that many thought it could be this year. So what stands out for you about Yedlin?
Okay, yeah, that is true. That is true. It hasn't been a great year for them. I just think that he's been getting a lot of experience there. You know, at a young age, he's been coming along nicely, and I'd like to just see what he can do at the international level before it gets a little bit farther in his career. I think he's already 20. Am I right about that? Yeah, he's 20 already, yeah. And we just haven't seen much of him yet. For me, it's more like I want to see what he can do in a non-pressure situation, and I think this could be a time to bring him in.
Thanks for saying he's already 20, as if that's so old, Michael, making me feel old here. No worries, man. With that, do you think that maybe Klinsmann, if he was going to take a punt, and do you think he will still change things about and bring players into these friendly games when he's had the opportunity to bring them in to these last two games, especially of World Cup qualification, where there is still the at least honour and prestige of a competitive game, as opposed to a friendly game where it's completely different a lot of the time, that atmosphere and the vibe around going into a friendly game compared to something like the last two games we've had?
So do I think should
players be brought in and given only friendly experience and then taken to the World Cup?
Well, that is another tough question, of course. You know, if they do well enough, I wouldn't be against it. It probably would have been ideal if Klinsmann is going to bring somebody to the World Cup without qualification experience. That would be a question mark. And we are kind of getting ahead of ourselves here. But, you know, if somebody like Yedlin does well enough, I don't see why it would be a problem, especially, you know, if we're playing tough friendlies, you know, in the coming months, which by all accounts, it seems like we might have a few coming up. So, you know, that's a tough one, but I think it would be okay if the performance is right and if the situation demands, you know, having a new guy in. We don't have much cover, say, at right back. There's not much we can do at the moment. We saw Alejandro Bedoya there, you know, last night. That wasn't really his position, I don't think, either.
It's last night, getting back to kind of what took place on the pitch rather than speculating about the potential squad. There's plenty of time for Jürgen to decide on that, of course, Michael. For the US to come back and get this victory, does it really help silence those critics, myself included, who were saying and really being quite pessimistic going into the hexagonal about trips on the road? Because it was a Panama side that were obviously so fired up for this game against a reasonably almost rookie-ish US men's national team in terms of a lot of those players hadn't played together. So is that important for them mentally to be able to get a result still on the road in an important World Cup qualification game?
I think it is. You know, there is some importance there. If you think about the last time they went on the road, it was a very tough match in Costa Rica. Obviously lost that one, you know, taken apart at the beginning of that match. And this was, like you said, pretty much a different team, pretty much the B team, playing in a match I didn't expect them to win. You know, I think Panama had to expect they'd win that match. So, Yeah, that has to build some confidence, and it's never bad to lose. I mean, it's never bad to win, you know? So it's always a good thing to win. I think overall, yeah, this is something that can build confidence moving forward, especially for the younger guys that got in there.
Great as well to see that we were worried about in that Costa Rica game about the impact that losing Michael Bradley had on that US men's national team side. It's great to see, obviously, that although Bradley obviously still out, and that's a shame, to see players being able to step in and fill that void, if you will, in the heart of the pitch.
Yeah, it is good, but let's not make any mistake about it. The U.S. will need Michael Bradley at the top of his game. He's such an important player, you know, for the U.S. in the midfield. He has such an engine up and down the field. He can be creative. He can be hard-nosed. He's very, very solid player for the U.S. For me, he's the top player on the team, the most important player on the team. And if the U.S. is to do anything at the World Cup, you know, he's got to be there. He's got to be important. But yeah, you know, it's been good to see. It's been good to see the U.S. succeeding without him, albeit in games that apart from the Costa Rica match, you know, the games that didn't actually mean all that much. Yeah, it was still nice to see, you know, the U.S. playing well without him.
There was obviously the prestige, if you will, was given to Brad Guzan to lead that back line in goal last night. Jürgen Klinsmann saying he'd earned that. We were talking about it in the build up to the game in the week. What did you make of Guzan's performance? And not only that, but where do you stand on the Guzan Howard debate?
Yeah, you know, for me, I've been kind of on the Guzan bandwagon just a little bit. I think this is one of the areas that Klinsmann needs to address, you know, heading into the World Cup. I don't see him making a change. I honestly don't. But if he did make a change, I would be behind it. With Tim Howard, I think we see it lately. He can have in one match he'll have a brilliant performance, and then in the next match, you know, he'll make a few, you know, questionable plays, and you'll just think, why did he let that one in? How did that one get past him? So, you know, he can either be really, really solid, or he can be just a little bit shaky. I think Guzan is slightly more consistent at this point, and I think their trajectories are definitely, you know, going in a different direction. And in the next cycle, Guzan will probably take over, surely, right? But for now, you have to think Klinsmann will stick with Howard for that experience. You know, he's been there, he's done it. And he's such a veteran and leader on this team. But Guzan, yeah, I'm kind of on his bandwagon, gotta admit.
Hey, we're all riding the Brad Guzan bandwagon here at WFD as well, Michael. Don't worry about that. You're not alone there. Having said that, it's kind of funny saying that and then asking this question, but couldn't do much about the first one. But was Guzan at fault for that second one? Do you think that will stand out in Klinsmann's mind if he does see him at fault? Because obviously, Guzan doesn't get too many opportunities to be in goal for the US men's national team, and to see possibly a mistake like that won't sit favorably.
Yeah, possibly so. I could see what you're saying there, but you know, Howard hasn't been perfect at this level either. I want to say in the Costa Rica match, which one was it? It might have been the first one where I thought he could have done a little bit more, but you know, Howard's been doing sort of the same thing. Every once in a while, there would just be a few questions of whether he should have been able to get that or not. Yeah, Guzan probably could have done a little better with that one. I don't think it's going to hurt that much because, like I said before, for me, Klinsmann's man is Howard. That, you know, he's the leader, he's the veteran, he's been there forever. And I don't think much is going to change, barring like an injury or just a humongous, humongous howler, you know, that would just change the landscape. So for now, to me, that's not a big deal at all, no.
And just finally, Michael, before we let you go, are you getting on another bandwagon with Aaron Johansson and the kind of the start he's had to his international career, playing with seemingly so much confidence in these World Cup qualifiers for the USA?
Yes, I am on his bandwagon too. I was watching the previous match with a bunch of buddies from who are actually, you know, Hispanic. They're mostly Mexicans, a few Panamanians in there, and they thought he was, you know, pretty good player. And I, you know, I was just talking about him, just, you know, this is a really exciting player we have coming through. He's confident, he has some power, some strength, he can shoot. He didn't actually score in the what was it, the Honduras match the other night, but you know, I think he did pretty well. And yeah, I'm on the bandwagon.
With him at AZ Alkmaar, you're kind of disappointed that Josie decided to take that move away to the Premier League this year, because those two together in Dutch football scoring goals would surely benefit the US men's national team.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. I have to say it was the Jamaica match the other night. Sorry about that. But yes, let me just talk about Josie for a minute. I'm a bit concerned about Josie. You know, his hold-up play is excellent. He's a strong presence up top. The problem, you know, with him is always service, and he hasn't been getting that at Sunderland this season as much as he needs to. Now, Paulo Di Canio is now out, and that could change a few things. Was this really the best move for him, moving from Alkmaar to Sunderland? At Alkmaar, he was kind of the man. You know, he was scoring left and right. He was leading his team to trophies, and now he's playing for the team that's in last place in the Premier League table. So he's not scoring. He's not getting service. It's a World Cup year. I'm a little concerned. And to answer your question, yeah, I think it would have been great to see him and Johansson playing together. But you know, that's hindsight is 20/20, of course. So it's hard to say. But yeah, it's something to keep an eye on.
We always worry about the lure of the Premier League and its money to players coming in from outside the league, and just wondering there, Michael, if Altidore has made the right decision. It's the right move, though, for the US men's national team in Brazil 2014. And Michael, we look forward to catching up with you on a bit of Major League Soccer and, of course, the US men's national team as we get those friendlies in November and, of course, the beginning of the preview to Brazil 2014 next summer as well, mate.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, and appreciate you taking the time out to join us. Michael Cummings there joining us here from Bleacher Report, talking all things US men's national team here on World Football Daily. Big thanks to Michael for joining us and giving us his thoughts on the US men's national team performance last night.